Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Everybody, welcome to this edition of Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone, here, manning and darning the microphone here. As always, we've got guests. We have too many guests. Actually, we have three, so just enough. And they're all ladies, very outspoken ladies in their respective fields, very diverse ladies. And I thought it would be an interesting blend to bring bring them all together here. Starting with our first guest is, for those of you who remember, who were old enough to remember her work, actress Denise Nicholas. Beautiful lady. She is an actress. She's a social activist, a civil rights worker back in the day. Looks like she's got to put her civil rights hat back on with the way things are going around here. It's just embarrassingly crazy. Earlier in her career, she was an actress on the TV show series, comedy series, Room 222. She starred as Liz McIntyre. And then years later, she starred on the hit show In the Heat of the Night with Carol O'Connor. Her role there was Councilwoman Harriet DeLong. Plus, along the way, she's done a lot, just a long list of other acting roles. But those two particular roles, especially In the Heat of the Night, really put her on the map with a lot of, with America, so to speak here. So now, what has Denise Nicholas been doing? Well, she's been doing some roles here and there, but most of all, she has become a very successful author. Yes, a novelist. Her novel, Fresh Water Road, was released 10 years ago. And this year marks the 10th anniversary of when this novel was released. It became a bestseller. It's an unforgettable coming-of-age story that even after 10 years that it has, when it first appeared, it is still being heralded as a great work of writing. So the novel very much is the part of the times that we're in now. So I won't give you a lot of details on it because we're going to talk about it. She and I are going to be talking for nearly 23 minutes about the book and about her career as well. And in addition, we have, by popular demand, Diamond and Silk. Yes, those ladies, two African-American, very outspoken ladies who are devout supporters of presidential hopeful Donald Trump. Yes, I know. We had them on the show earlier in the year, and we got so much response. Since Mr. Trump is about to announce his vice presidential candidate in another day or two or week, or it's coming up real soon, I thought it would be interesting to bring back that particular chat that we did with Diamond and Silk so that you can just hear their reasoning as to why that they are devout supporters of Donald Trump, even though they are African-American young ladies. And he is very much in support, of them being supportive of him. You may have seen them on the podium and the platform with him throughout the country at different events. He's right there with them. He acknowledges them quite well. So it's going to be quite a show here. So get your popcorn, get your popsicle, get your Kool-Aid, get your coffee, your Hennessy, vodka, whatever it is that you like to drink. Maybe just some nice iced tea. And just take a listen. Just take a listen to our first guest, as I said, actress Denise Nicholas, as she talks about the re-release of her best-selling novel 10 years ago, but it has never lost is a saver there, because the topic is relevant, and Miss Nicholas is still a very beloved actress among her many fans around the world. So without any further delay, let's talk and listen to my recent conversation with actress Denise Nicholas. Are we? We're getting all even more glamorous. I see here.
Well, we need a little glamour right now.
Oh, girl, do I ever know? If you saw my hair, I mean, I am ready for Halloween right now.
I look like that every day.
No, you don't. No. Well, I just want to say, Denise, it is such a pleasure to chat with you. I've never met you before. I have a guy that used to be my agent. He met you years ago at the Four Seasons. I think he was there for a business meeting, and he was a little early, and you happened to be there, and he said you guys struck up just a really nice conversation, and so he said, "Oh, it was such a delight talking to her." So.
Oh, how nice. What was his name?
His name is Adrian Taylor.
And, okay, I don't remember the name, but.
Yeah, it's probably been 11 or 12 years ago, but he still hasn't forgotten it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, he has not forgotten it for sure. I told him I was going to be talking to you, and he had to remind me. I was like, I know. You talked to her.
That's so nice. Thank you.
I surely will. But now, we are here. Of course, we're chatting about the 10th anniversary of the release of your blockbuster novel, Freshwater Road. 10 years. Are you amazed? I know as an author you're obviously very pleased, but 10 years later the people are still buzzing about your book.
It's absolutely astonishing to me. I think I really think that some of the issues in the book, which are issues of the 60s, are repeating themselves, and that could have something to do with it. I mean, there's a lot of voter suppression that's going on all over the country, has been going on ever since Obama was elected and before. And that's certainly one of the issues of Freshwater Road, because the whole point of Freedom Summer was to get black people in Mississippi registered to vote. So now we have, 40 years later, 50 years later, all of these voter suppression laws coming, being passed by mainly Republicans. Local state, state congresses and Republican governors. So it's to me, it's extraordinary at election time to see news footage of lines for people trying to vote that go off the blocks. Democracy.
Yeah, it's very sad.
In a country that prides itself or has prided itself on slogans like one man, one vote, and all the other slogans that pertain to this being a democratic republic. Well, things are changing. And I think that's one of the reasons the book has a resonance even today, because that is the main story. It's about a young woman who goes to Mississippi to try to register black people to vote, period. That's the story.
I mean, it's really an embarrassment in 2016 that we're still having to deal with voter suppression. And it's a black eye on this country. It's so so silly. It just is.
I think it's, I can't help but think since in the intervening years since the civil rights movement, of course, communication has exploded. So there isn't anything that goes on in this country that isn't seen around the world. And maybe in years past, that wasn't the case, because there wasn't, there wasn't a 24-hour news on cable, there wasn't Instagram and all the other social media and ways for people to see and to comment. And now, I mean, it's almost impossible to do anything that isn't noticed by other people in the world. And I agree with you, it has to be, in the minds of some, it has to be the height of hypocrisy.
It really is. It really, really, really is. So now, as far as, as we all know, you were very active in the civil rights movement of that era in politics. So what about now? Are you very politically active? Do you get out and do volunteer work for any candidates or party or what?
No. I stopped. I don't do anything. No, I do. I don't do volunteering in that regard, but I I do support, there are certain issues that I support financially, and certain people or candidates, of course, that I support with, financially, and certainly with encouraging others to vote, but I don't actively get involved in any organizations in that way anymore. For example, I support Doctors Without Borders.
Oh, yes, I love that.
Sans Frontières, mm-hmm. And I support a tutoring program in the Detroit Public Schools called Beyond Basics.
Mm-hmm.
And I support advocacy group Color of Change.
Mm-hmm. Those are very good.
Out of Oakland. Yeah, okay. So those are the three main ones. But, issues come up and things that are important to me come up, and you might support for, one-time only events,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. But the three that I named are the ones I support all the time.
I understand you. I used to be rah-rah, with certain
uh-huh.
candidates, and, I'd get out and put my little Volkswagen and get people round them up and volunteering. And, after a while, you just, it's not that you don't care, but after a while.
You get tired. What
yes.
happens is you get tired
yes,
because
ma'am.
One thing that seems to happen in this country, I don't know how it is in other countries with different political systems, but nothing ever seems to get resolved.
Thank
so
you.
This administration is in and we're going in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the next administration comes in and all that gets shoved aside and you start doing the reverse. We're close to the reverse, so it's exhausting. It's even very basic things just seem to be constantly in flux.
Yeah, you do.
So it gets kind of wearing.
It is. I'm glad I'm not just because I was feeling like, oh my God, I'm a horrible citizen. But you're right. I just get tired. I got tired. I just did.
Yeah, and it's time for the younger people in their 20s, which is. When I was in my 20s was when I was most active,
mm-hmm.
and that's the time to do it. It doesn't mean you turn your back on it as you get older. It's just your level of involvement shifts, it changes, and
yes.
that's as it should be.
It's after
for the most part. Yeah.
Well, now, when your book, when Freshwater Road was, I'd say the first year or two that it was out originally,
mm-hmm.
what kind of, did you get a lot of feedback from readers saying that this, how it impacted them in different ways politically or maybe socially or what?
Yes, I did. I got lots of feedback across the board from black and white people. And I heard, I had a lot of mail and I did a huge amount of events all over the country to quote Donald Trump with the huge.
Okay.
I felt like I was on the road for about 2 years. Actually 2.5 years. And so I got an opportunity to get a lot. Some of the people who came to events had already read the book. Some,
mm-hmm.
Were coming to get their book signed. And others just wanted to talk about the civil rights movement or what, just like we're having this conversation now, people wanted to have that same conversation. And there were lots of people who had volunteered, who were my age range people who had gone to the South in the 60s. They were white and black. And they were so happy to be honored. And to not be forgotten, and so we had those kinds of conversations. And then in schools, but not black schools, black and white schools, I had great discussions with students about the history of civil rights movement and trying to encourage them to not drop the ball, keep pushing.
Exactly.
So it's been a great, great experience for me as an actress turned author. I couldn't have... I don't think I could. The only better thing I could have asked for is if Oprah had selected my book, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that have been great?
Then I could retire to the south of France.
Yes.
That didn't happen, so I'm still here.
Well, you would have been at the Cannes Film Festival, I'm sure, right this very minute.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's right. Well, hey, you know what? It's not too late. Next book, are you already working on it or what?
Yes, I am. I am working on another book.
Okay.
Very slowly. It's a love story.
Uh-huh.
Which is, not only is that hard in real life, it's hard to write.
Harder in real life.
It's hard in, yes.
Much harder.
Harder. Yes, 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 yes. I agree. But, that's what I'm working on.
Okay, okay. So we can look forward to that. You said it's a slow
yes.
writing. People always think they want to write the great American novel, but I mean, that you could definitely say writing is a slow, laborious process, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. I think that people have, growing up, a fantasy about being a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a fantasy about being an actor. It was always about writing.
Oh.
And so, but, you know, things took off in a certain direction, and I went with it. But I had this great, you know, kind of ivory tower fantasy. I was going to be like Emily Bronte or somebody. Until I started actually taking writing classes and really doing the work, and then I found out it was so hard. It was so difficult and so demanding.
It is.
You know, it just completely alleviated any sense of romantic fantasy notions I had about writing, because it's like picking stitches. It is hard work.
It is. But, you know, what I really like about you as far as your writing, you really delved into it professionally, just the way that you did with acting. You know, you studied acting with some of the best people, and you did the same thing with your writing when you decided to take that plunge, and that's wonderful, and that's the way it should be if we're serious about something.
Thank you.
It really should be.
I have an appreciation for people who do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
I have an appreciation for people who study things and not just assume that because they have a certain amount of intelligence, they know how to do everything. That's just
mm-hmm.
not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Writing is a craft. It is an art. And it is something that requires dedication and study and reading and constantly, constantly shoring up your skills as a writer, and also refilling what I call your treasure chest of life, because when you write, you use yourself as well as, you know, other other things. But you certainly do start with yourself and go from there. So you have to, when you use, like with Freshwater Rose, for me, I used everything that I had accumulated to the point of putting pen to paper in terms of just my take on life, my take on family, my take on politics. I used it all. And so then when I sat down to start another book, my treasure chest was pretty empty.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to go and fill up your treasure chest with a lot of life experiences, reading, travel, whatever all you're going to do. And that's because I don't consider myself to have a super-duper rich imagination, so I have to work for it. I have to dig
mm-hmm.
for it. So that's my way.
Well, that's not too bad of a deal to just say, I'm going to go travel to Panama, wherever, and then I think I'll go to Argentina, I think I'll go to France, so I can build my treasure chest up.
Yes, build your treasure chest with great experience and things with wine.
Yeah, there you go. That's not a bad deal. That's a good way to look
exactly.
at it. I'm going to have to look at it like that myself. That's pretty cool. Well, now, I saw where Brown University had commissioned you to turn Freshwater Road into a stage production. Has
uh-huh.
there been talked of, discussed about doing a movie, especially with the era we're in now?
Mm-hmm. Well, we did try. We, being the people who had optioned Freshwater Road for a feature film development,
mm-hmm.
we worked about 3 years to try to get it to the screen, and we were not able to get a deal at the present time, but we'll go back, take a break from that, and then circle back and try again. Yes, and Brown University did the play, and it was wonderful. They had a program they called Books on Wheels, and they basically
mm-hmm.
used the entire novel, and they adapted or developed particularly very important scenes in the book to the theater with a full cast of actors, the soundtrack of all the music from the 60s. It was great.
Oh,
it was absolutely
wow.
great. I was shocked. I was stunned at how wonderful it was.
Yeah.
I sat there like, you know, the classic mom. I was just like, oh my God, look at my child. Look at my child.
Oh my goodness! And when you implement the music in with some great writing, I know that was a masterpiece.
Yes.
Oh wow!
It was wonderful. It was big fun.
Man.
Very, very satisfying.
Well, I think you guys should go delve right back into it as far as a movie or TV movie or something, because of the headlines are so identical to what the novel is about. So there may be renewed interest, definitely.
We're gonna try again. I had. the option group that had it the last time around, really great people, but they just were not able to close the deal. So I have to rethink all that and involve myself with a different set of people to try to make that happen.
Yeah, that's. I think it will be so worth it. And once again, put that great music in there.
Yes. You gotta
have
Curtis Mayfield in there.
Oh,
absolutely.
My gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Freddie's dead. Superfly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it. Oh, well, I got a last question here because I know you got an appointment here, but one of your fans.
He's working on my hair even as
okay. I love the multitasking. I love it. Well, now, one of your fans wanted me to ask you, she was a huge fan of the show In the Heat of the Night, and she wanted to know what you have worked with so many great actors in your career, but this lady is especially a big fan of that particular show, and she wanted to know what are some of the great memories, obviously many, that you have of working with Carol O'Connor?
Well, let's see. I think that, first of all, I had a great friendship with Mr. and Mrs. O'Connor before I was hired to do the show, because his wife, Nancy O'Connor, and I, they're both, deceased now, but with Mrs. O'Connor, we had been involved in a charity. This is when I was more active, raising money for child care centers in South Central Los Angeles, so I had a long history with them. My history with them is professional and it's personal. And it's, I used to spend weekends at their house in Malibu, and, they had these big dogs, and the dogs would run me up and down the beach.
Oh,
it was just a really, really fun time in my life. So when I got the job to work opposite him, I already had a good relationship with him. So our friendship was solid. So I was able to not only work with him as an actor, but I was also able to pitch story ideas to him, six of which he purchased and I wrote, and they aired on In the Heat of the Night. So Carol is really responsible for giving me the boost that I needed to go into writing, because he also was a writer, actor-writer, and very political, by the way, and very progressive in his thinking, unlike Archie Bunker. And, I pitched story ideas to him, and he bought. And then I said, well, who's going to write it? Because, he had a staff of writers, and I was not on the writing staff. I was just an actor at that time. He said, you're going to write it, and I'm going to help you. So he mentored me through the process. So I have the fondest, best memories of my work life are with Carol O'Connor.
What?
The second best is with Sidney Poitier and the movies I did with him and with Bill Cosby.
Oh, okay.
Let's Do It Again is my favorite role because it allowed me to do it, to show my comedic side. And wearing a big blonde wig and big boots and high heel boots and chewing and cracking gum the way my father would not allow me to home. That was such fun.
Oh, yeah. That was such a great era for film and TV. And Oh, my God. Liz McIntyre from 2007. Yeah. Oh, this is so much fun. Well, Denise, when are you going to do your autobiography?
Well, that's what my publisher keeps saying. I keep saying I want to write a love story, and he keeps saying do a memoir. That's a love story.
Yes, exactly.
That you with all your life experience, you could sell like a billion books. I said, yeah, I just don't want all of it out there, but we'll see.
Oh, you
we'll
should.
See. I might.
Yeah, you should. I know you got some great photographs and
I have tons and tons of stuff.
Oh, you should do that one and then come back to the love story later.
Okay, that's what you keep saying. Put the love story aside. We need to sell some books.
Well, when you do your autobiography, and if they decide to turn it into a movie, who would you like to star as you?
As me in my 20s?
Yeah, when you first started out.
Let's see, as me in my 20s, who would be? Oh, my hairdresser just said Halle Berry, but she's too old to be me in my
20s. In her 20s, that's right.
Yes.
What about?
So we have to find somebody in their 20s.
Let's see.
And that's easy.
That's
to do.
Not easy. You're right. Because everybody I'm thinking of is in their 30s and 40s.
Exactly. Yeah. And see, that's one of the problems I had with freshwater. We were going to film. It's like, who is a 20 or what actress, what black actress, right now
mm-hmm.
can play, even if she's 30, if she could play 20.
Right.
And carry a whole movie.
Now, if she
because,
I was going to say Vanessa Williams, if she was in her 20s, she would be perfect as you.
She would be, yeah, mm-hmm. but, you know, she's 50.
Yeah, well, it'd have to be an unknown, I guess, but.
Yeah, I think it would have to be an unknown,
mm-hmm.
which means you then have to surround that unknown with lots of known character actors.
Right,
you know,
right.
People who are very recognizable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, that would be left to let the directors and the casting people, that'll be their headache.
Yes.
Yeah, just as long as they bring it to the screen, they'll figure it out.
Yes, they will.
And then, of course, they'll pass the baton to you, and you'll finish the movie on out as you right now.
Well, what I'm thinking is we'll start in present day, like in one of those long voter registration voter.
Yeah, there you go.
Trying to vote line. And we'll have the main character of my book is Celeste. Then we'll have old Celeste, that's me,
mm-hmm.
at the voting booth. And then we'll flash back to Celeste when she's in her 20s.
Now, that's a good
19,
one.
19, actually.
That's a good one. That's a very good
That'll
approach.
Work.
That's a very. So you may have to direct this also. You see.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, but no thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, listen, I'm going to just hold you to this autobiography stuff because I think
okay.
it's due and your fans are waiting, your publisher is waiting, so now
it's
your turn. Your turn, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, I know you're getting all glammed up. It's making me feel guilty.
Okay.
I need to go see my girl if she'll take me this evening. So, oh my God, thank you so much for the great chat. I just had so much fun talking to you as well.
Thank you, Janice. Thanks so much.
Okay, well, maybe next time out. Okay, we had to cut it there. Denise Nicholas, she is, so sorry I was bothering her. I wouldn't say bothering her. I was talking to her while she was getting her hair done, and she was such a good sport about it. But yes, if you have not, you know, I was very surprised to know that she is, you know, she's a very talented novelist, and she's really studied to be a fiction novelist to quite with some of the best novelists in the business out here before she embarked on her first novel. Just like she did as an actress, she studied quite extensively as an actress, and to know that her novel, Freshwater Road, is still, after 10 years, is still a best-selling book, and it's still remembered and being considered for, you know, to turn it into some type of a musical production is just amazing. So I just enjoyed, as you can see, I really enjoyed talking to her, and she will be following it up, hopefully, with her own autobiography, and if not, her publisher, as she said, wants her to do a love story. But I think her fans would love to hear about her amazing life as an actress and very, you know, civic-minded, very politically active. But she said she's gotten to the point where she wants to let somebody else take that political role over because she's definitely served her terms as far as being an activist, and I'm sure she's available if she decides she wants to change her mind there. Well, anyway, Denise Nicholas, actress now, best-selling author. Okay, we're going to go right on into it here. Next guest, you know them, you've seen them, Diamond and Silk, that's what they call themselves. They are two of, their real names are Lynette Hardaway, who is called herself Diamond. Her buddy, Rochelle Richardson, is calls herself Silk. And these two young ladies, they are biological sisters, and they are YouTube stars because of their strong support of billionaire Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump. They have appeared on top news outlets such as Fox News and Nightline, Huffington Post, CNN, just, I don't know how many other, you know, national, international media sites. Their trademark slogan, Stump for Trump. And you can go there, originally, by the way, from Fayetteville, North Carolina. And they joined Donald Trump, have joined him on stage at many, many functions, many rallies. So he definitely recognizes them. Their website, again, is diamondandsilkinc.com. And it's a very, very well-done website. It's very informative. They have different categories. They have songs for Trump, Ditch and Switch, Donald Trump's policies and positions on various issues. And they even have information on where you, if you need to go register to vote. And, I mean, it's very well done, very well done. Now, with them being African-American and Donald Trump being, well, Donald Trump, it's an interesting mix there. As we all have heard the old saying, politics often can be strange bedfellows or something to that effect. But it's a strange blend to have these two young sisters in real life, and sisters as far as you know, the term sisters. They are devout supporters of Donald Trump, and it's very unique. It's very unusual. Of course, most minority people, African-American people, do not agree with them supporting Donald Trump. But, hey, it's still America, as far as we know, and people can still support the candidate of their choice. And that's what these ladies are doing. So we did this interview. Let me tell you this. We did this interview earlier this year. It was back when the North Carolina primaries were coming up, or was it it may have been the Mississippi one. One of those rallies. Well, it was one of the southern rallies was coming up for Trump. So these young ladies were there. They were talking about, just talking about why they support Donald Trump and why the rest of the world needs to do it also. Interesting conversation. Received a lot of mail about it. So without any further delay, let's bring back the return of Diamond and Silk, the Stump for Trump ladies. Here they are.
Okay,
everyone, we have them. We've been trying to grab them for a while, but we finally got them. We've got Diamond and Silk, Lynette Diamond Hardaway and Rochelle Silk Richardson. They are biological sisters from the North Carolina area. And I know everybody, you guys have seen them on television, radio, print. They are proudly and they are adamantly supporting Republican candidate hopeful Donald Trump. These ladies are serious about their campaigning. In fact, go to their website and you can see how serious they are, diamondandsilk.com. Really good stuff, very informative information on their website. But anyway, these ladies have their own campaign slogan, Stump for the Trump, that I think is really funny. So Diamond, Silk, ladies, thank you for being here. What's going on?
Thank you for having us. Wow.
Yeah, well, listen, I need to say congratulations on your candidate winning the New Hampshire Republican primary. So how did you ladies celebrate the victory? Did Mr. Trump call and did you call him and personally congratulate him or what?
Well, we were able to congratulate him last night at the rally. That's right. We were able to congratulate him then, but we were very excited when he won. We were watching it all play out on television.
Oh, on television. Okay.
When the Iowa happened, they didn't call it as fast, so we were shocked. But we were excited, and we had to put up a video real fast to let everybody know he had won. So we were excited about it.
Okay, so there was party time at the Diamond and Silk headquarters there.
Yes, it was.
Well, ladies, as we all know, the race to the White House among the Republican candidates started off with 17 hopefuls. Now it has dwindled down to 6 because Governor Christie and Carly both dropped out. So of the 6 that are remaining, as we go into South Carolina, a lot of the political pundits are favoring your guy. So of the 6 that are left, who do you think is going to give your candidate the most competition?
Well, he don't have any competition. By the crowds last night, we know that Donald Trump does not have any competition.
Uh-huh.
Listen, we went to a Trump rally last night, and we sat in traffic for an hour and a half, and we were only 2 minutes away from the event. So we didn't even make it. He was done talking when we got there. That's just how much traffic was backed up with people trying to get into an event.
You think so, it's packed inside?
It's also packed outside where people are still trying to get in.
Yes.
So he don't have any competition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for the media and everybody to take notice.
Mm-hmm.
There is a movement going on. The silent majority is speaking. People are waking up. And, baby, this is going to be the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, as I said, you ladies are adamant about your candidate, and we can hear the seriousness in your voices here. We can see it. Well, before I get to the next question, I got to ask you this. Johnny Depp just came, a few hours ago, new movie, The Art of the Deal from Funny or Die. He stars as Donald Trump. Have you ladies seen it yet, or do you plan on seeing it, or what?
Seen it yet, so I'm going to have to go check out the reviews. I want to make, if it's a good wholesome movie, I'll go see it. But he better not be making fun of our man, though. He better not be doing nothing crazy in the
mouth.
Well, okay. I don't know, ladies. I saw a clip, and I'm just going to let you go see it for yourself.
Yeah, if it's anything that's making my man Donald Trump look bad, then I will not promote it or go see it at all.
Okay. Well, Ron Howard is directing, so you know that's going to be some good in that for sure.
Okay. Well, we have to take a look at the reviews and see what happens.
We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
Get back to me. Okay. Now, of course, I mean, you ladies are from the North Carolina area, and, of course, South Carolina is literally back in your backyard, so you will be going into the South Carolina for the primary. So what are you ladies going to be doing exactly? We know you're going to be supporting, but what are you going to be doing?
Well, you know, I'm just going to be, and we're going to continue to make our videos. We're letting people know that in South Carolina is an open primary.
Uh-huh.
So even if you are a Democrat or independent, you still can go to the polls on February the 20th to vote.
Donald
J. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So we're letting people know that. Also, this year, the primaries fall on a Saturday on February the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all day to vote. Get out to vote.
Yes.
And what we're looking for him to do is to shut this state down.
Yes.
Shut it down.
We're looking for people to turn out in record numbers. So we're going to be just that support team, just that behind the scenes, just get out, vote, go vote. And then you never know what we may pop up at.
That's right.
Okay, so it sounds like the operative phrase here is shut it down.
Shut it down, yes,
shut it down.
Shut it down. Run the table. And
run the table. Well, Diamond, Silk, what do you ladies think is the biggest misconception that people have about your candidate, Donald Trump?
Well, I think the media has put it in the minds of people that he's somebody else, and that's not who we know. We know a man that's humble, that's kind, that wants to see America great again, wants to see people thrive, wants to see you succeed. That's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we look at Donald Trump, he shook awoke America.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people coming to the rally in masses, black, white, Hispanic, Latinos, you know, Asian people,
mm-hmm.
you know, showing up at the rallies, hey, people are looking for change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes people want to put it in the minds of other people. You know, this is what I found out. Anything that they fear, they smear. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what we know is the media fear Donald Trump.
That's right.
Parts of the GOP and the establishment, they fear him. So that's why they smear him. But what we want people to do is to start thinking for yourself.
Yes.
Stop listening to everything that the media say. Think for your own self.
That's
see
right.
exactly what's going on. Why are all of these people turning out?
Yes.
Okay. Think for yourself and make your own decision for yourself.
And stop letting the media play us.
And stop letting the media play us. That's right.
Well, now, ladies, let's face it. Mr. Trump has said a lot of pretty disparaging comments about blacks, Muslims, Hispanic people. Some of these comments have not left people with a warm and fuzzy feeling about him. Not really kumbaya stuff here. So how are minorities supposed to, are we supposed to just get over it or what?
He's never said anything about black and Hispanic. He's never said anything about Muslims. What he said was we have to secure our border.
Mm-hmm.
When you come into this country, you come come in legally, not illegally. And he was talking about illegals coming over here committing crime. Mm-hmm. Because it's and that's the truth. That's what people are. And driving down the wages, mm-hmm. okay? When it comes to Muslims, listen, we have a country here. Our government cannot properly vet people that's coming into our country. Maybe we need to place a temporary, notice the word I said, temporary ban
right.
on people coming from certain countries
mm-hmm.
so they won't come up in here and want to gun us down or try to trap off our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't see anything wrong with the comments that he made. People have to be cautious. Listen, he is going to tell the truth.
Right.
And I'm sorry if it's not politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
You need to tell the truth. Anybody that cares about the country was going to tell the truth about it.
That's right. And we need to stop listening to the media, how they twist his words, and bring it out to you all for all of us to see it until we begin to believe it to be the truth when really it's a lie. Donald Trump said it clearly.
He said it clearly.
Illegal immigrants is whom he's talking about.
Right. Illegal immigrants. He's never said anything about blacks. He's never said anything about, all he's doing is telling you what's going on in the country. People can accept it or not. And I don't know why they would love to hear a well-dressed lie instead of the naked, nasty truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for people to start listening to the truth, because that's what's going to set us all free, and it's going to help us, because it's going to help us all come up.
That's right.
I like that phrase, naked, nasty. I may have to borrow that. Is that okay? Well, ladies, you know, as we all know, the whole world knows that Mr. Trump is a billionaire. As far as African-American people, he has a lot of rich and famous African-American longtime friends, such as Russell Simmons, Mike Tyson, Al Sharpton, and just the list is long. And you know, these names, these individuals, they have the wealthy, famous, that aspect in common with Mr. Trump. But I ask you, how can the average working person, African-American person, how can they relate to Mr. Trump? Or can Mr. Trump, does he want to relate to that group of potential black voters, that the working person?
I think that he's relating to that, to the minority, to black African-Americans, because he represents success and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, he took $1 million and turned it into $10 billion.
Right.
Imagine if he was leading what we as Americans can do with our money.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever want to know what's going on with the body, look at the head.
Mm-hmm.
If the head is prosperous and successful,
mm-hmm.
and can show you how to do things, then the body is going to be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at Donald Trump, we see prosperity and success,
mm-hmm.
and we know that can trickle down to the body of people. And you know another thing? I'm tired of everybody trying to divide us up.
Yeah.
Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Latino. We are one race, and that's the human race. And baby, when he starts leading this country,
mm-hmm.
it's going to trickle down to all of us.
All
one
of
race is what it's going to happen. Everything is going to trickle down to us.
That's right.
Then that will create entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Entrepreneurs will create jobs and
exactly.
good jobs, and it just go on and on.
Yes.
That's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, ladies, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a minute. What about people who say, well, hey, you know, Mr. Trump had $1 million to start off with. Who has $1 million that they can start off with? I mean, what do you have to say about that?
Well, listen, if his father lent him $1 million and he turned it into $10 billion, kudos. I'm looking at, even if we don't have $1 million, what do you have?
Mm-hmm.
How can you turn that into something?
Yeah.
Listen, people are tired of being in poverty and impoverished,
mm-hmm.
and nobody is giving them opportunities or telling them what to do and how to do it.
That's right.
Bring somebody in that can show us some things. You know, if you give a man a fish, baby,
mm-hmm.
all you do is, how is that going to help you just giving it to him?
That's right.
But if you show him how to fish, you can help him for a lifetime.
Right.
He only gonna eat for a day if you give him a fish. But if you show him how to fish, he will eat for a lifetime.
And it's absolutely nothing wrong with coming off the Democrat plantation.
That's right. It's a plantation. It's a mindset.
Yeah.
They want to. We keep voting for the same system that's handed us the problem.
Yeah.
It's not time for people to eat a slice of the cake. So I don't have a problem with his father lending him $1 million that he had to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
He flipped it into $10 billion. Hey, tell me how I can do with what I can do with my money.
That's right.
If it's just $5,000. How can I take that and flip that to make my life better,
that's
to
right.
become successful and prosper?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, to further speak of money, are you, a lot of people saying you ladies are being paid by the Trump campaign to promote and support him. Is that true?
We are not being paid by his campaign. Absolutely not. What you hear is pure passion.
Right.
What you see is pure passion. Mm-hmm. We really want this man, the businessman running this country. Anytime you're dealing with money, it needs to be ran like a business, and we need the businessman to come in and clean up this economic crisis and run things
right.
So, okay, let's find out who is Diamond and Silk. When did you ladies first meet Donald Trump, and how did you first meet him?
Well, what happened was Donald Trump was going to be in North Carolina, and there was no way he was going to be at that event at Rally in North Carolina, we not be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was arranged for us to be there. We was able to meet him. We got VIP status. We met him backstage. We took pictures. We chatted with him for a moment. And when we got out in the audience and sat down, they started asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw us again and then wanted us to come on the stage. And then if you can Google that, it just all went down in history from there.
Yeah.
So that was the first time meeting him, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so before meeting him and before the spotlight started shining on you ladies, what were your lives like? Were you always politically active or what?
We were not politically active. I talked about media biasness, but I was not into politics at all.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump just shook and woke America. I'm part of America. I'm an American. He shook us awoke.
Mm-hmm.
He said, listen, let me tell you how things are run.
Right.
Let me tell you how these career politicians are bought out by these super PACs and special interest donors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take their money because I'm going to work for you. Let me show you how these career politicians are all talking, no action.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Marco Rubio at the last debate, how he was acting like a robot.
Mm-hmm.
He's a well-dressed, earth liar in what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And look at all the other career politicians.
Mm-hmm.
So all Donald Trump did was shook and woke America. He got us all talking. He got everybody talking about what's going on when it comes to politics.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was cut off that reality TV
and
turned on the news. Let's see what's going on. Let's get involved. Because this is our country, too.
Yeah.
And the only way we can make this country great, we all have to do this
and
united, baby. Mm-hmm.
Well, like most African Americans, are usually Democrats. They usually vote Democrats. Big Mama, Grandmama, Mud Deer, everybody votes Democrat. What about in your case, in your families? Were you always diehard Democrats or what?
We weren't diehard Democrats. We were just raised to vote and Democrats. We were raised and conditioned to vote Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we said we're not voting based on race or gender or party. We're voting based on who's going to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at Donald Trump, we know he can do the job, and he's a white man, and he happens to be a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But we switched our party.
Mm-hmm.
We switched and switched our party to Republican so that we can vote for him in the primary and the general election.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to our camp, we started a campaign called the Ditch and Switch Now movement. If you go to ditchandswitchnow.com, you can switch your party to Republican so that you can vote for Donald Trump in the primary and then go ahead and vote for him in the general election.
That's right.
Yeah, as I said earlier, people should go to diamondandsilk.com. The website is very informative. I mean, very well done, ladies. I commend you for that. So what of your families and friends? I mean, was this a shock to them that you guys are supporting Donald Trump when this first happened or what?
Well, absolutely not. Listen, my father is almost 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a Democrat all of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Him and my mother have already switched their party so that they can vote for Donald Trump in the primary and the general election. So our family is very excited about it. We want someone to come in that's going to bring people opportunity.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at.
It's about time
for opportunity for people to come up. You know, Obama, he ran on hope and change, and now you have people walking around here with no hope and don't even have enough change to buy a loaf of bread. And here's the thing. You know, when you look at things, people are that we don't nobody want no Obama phone. Give them a good job and they can buy their own phone.
Right.
And when we look at Donald Trump, we know he's going to bring back opportunity. He's going to bring back good jobs where people are thriving again, baby.
Yeah.
And that's why people are stopping for Trump
and
they're going to be voting for him.
Exactly.
Well, have you ladies been invited to any of Mr. Trump's homes? Have you flown on any of his private jets or what?
I've never flown on any of his private jets. I've never been
traveling to other parts of the country, are people, do they recognize you? I mean, what's that like?
Absolutely. Everybody started yelling diamond and silk.
Oh, okay.
So we have become a little famous and all, and that's all good and well, and we absolutely love our fans. We absolutely love them, and we don't take them for granted. And you know, and I love it when they send us an email or send us a letter and say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for speaking the way you're speaking because you're speaking our language.
Right.
We've been wanting to say this here, and we just didn't know how to say it. And so we thank you. So we appreciate them.
And they're happy that they see us speaking out as two African-American women. They see us speaking out, and they're starting to feel, well, you know what? A closed mouth won't get fed. So it's okay for me to now speak.
Right, absolutely.
Well, I got a couple of last questions here. I could talk to you all day, but okay. So if your candidate wins the Republican nomination, if your candidate becomes the next president, what is your future like for with him or what's going to happen with you? Or have you guys thought about it?
All I can tell you is if you ever want to make God laugh, tell him your plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to even put in the universe what our plans is because God will laugh and change it all up.
Yes.
All I know is right now we're stuck for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We want this man to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows where he may pop up at? But I just want you to know that we're passionate about what we're doing right now.
That's right.
Now, on your website, you have this area called Bowl of Stupid. So okay, now, who's in the Bowl of Stupid for this week?
Well, I don't know who's in the Bowl of Stupid because they got to tally up the votes for the week. And all throughout the week, they send us requests, put this person in the Bowl of Stupid, put that person in the Bowl of Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tally everything up, and then we'll let them know on Table Talk. Our Table Talk come out on Friday. So if you visit the viewers, diamondandsilk.com, you'll see Table Talk. And during Table Talk, that's when we put people in the Bowl of Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, there's plenty of people in that bowl now.
Man, I hope. Gee, I hope I don't get in the bowl of stupid. I'm gonna try to stay out of that bowl. Well, you ladies also have a section on your website called "Support Our Cause." So, tell me exactly what is your cause and what is it all about?
Uniting America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're tired of people spending their days marching, complaining about inequality and blaming the past for all that's wrong in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to come together because we're one race and that's the human race. We're promoting peace and unity, baby, and we're standing together in love. And we're saying, you know what, we are one race and that's the human race, and that's what we stand for. So our cause is uniting America. And while we are uniting America, baby, we're stumping for Trump.
Stumping for Trump. And you even have a song, I see, on your website, several songs about your support for him. That's amazing. I told you it's a very well-done website. I congratulate you on that, too.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I got a last question here.
Okay.
Let's hear your elevator speech on why Americans, especially African Americans, should support Donald Trump.
Well, African Americans should support Donald Trump because we have been voting for the same system that has handed us crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for us to have a slice of the cake.
Mm-hmm.
We finally found a candidate that's not going to back the bus on you, but back it back off of you
mm-hmm.
so that you can get up, so that you can have a hand up
yeah.
instead of getting a hand out.
Yeah.
And it's time for us as Americans Americans to come up. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to have middle class and upper middle class people, mm-hmm. okay? And we are a great people.
Yes.
So when you are thinking about voting, make sure you vote for Donald J. Trump.
That's
Donald J. Trump is the only one that has your best interest in mind and that wants to see you thrive again,
right.
baby. Vote for Trump.
That's
Trump
right.
2016.
That's right.
Well, you know, I thought I had the last question. I forgot to ask you this one. What did you ladies think about the group of African-American ministers that met with Mr. Trump several weeks ago? A lot of backlash from various people about that. What is your spin on it?
Well, my spin is this here. Anybody that wants to endorse Donald Trump can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has the right to bully anybody
right.
as to who they support and who they don't support.
That's right.
And I am so open about who I'm supporting because
mm-hmm.
you're not going to bully me out of who I'm going to support.
That's right.
Now, unfortunately, some of those pastors got bullied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the ones that endorsed him, kudos.
Mm-hmm.
But I can be open about this here because I don't let nobody sit around and bully
yes.
me.
Yes.
And I don't know why it is in the African-American community that they choose to do that.
Yes.
But I was happy about the ones that did go ahead and they endorsed him.
Yes.
And for the ones that didn't, then too bad.
Yes.
Too bad that you allowed someone to take and talk you out of somebody that you want to vote for. But here's my thing to African-Americans.
Yes,
honey. Listen, if your pastor or your leader or whoever, if they African-American don't want you to vote for Trump, they got a problem with Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
then what you do is when you go into that voting box,
that's right.
you go head on and you check Donald J. Trump name.
That's right.
They don't have to know who the heck you voting for.
That's right.
They don't have to know.
Keep it on the download.
Your pastors, have they thrown their support in or what for Trump?
There's a lot of African Americans voting for Donald J.
Oh,
Trump.
Yes.
You may not see them all out, hey, because in the African American community,
yes.
they like to bully each other.
That's right.
And call each other out their names when
yes.
you go against the status quo. See, that's because they're so used to being on that Democratic plantation,
mm-hmm.
they don't know that you can get all you got to do is walk up that Democratic
yes.
plantation.
They don't know they're free.
They don't even know that they're free because
mm-hmm.
they're so used because the mindset has been conditioned
mm-hmm.
to only accept crumbs, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, listen, don't you know you can have a whole slice of cake?
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get the crumbs.
Yeah.
And then you have people like the Clintons and the Sanders going around pandering for the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad and it's sickening. And then once they become president,
yes.
then you don't see them no more. They don't be
right.
thinking about the black community.
That's
it's
right.
time for black people to wake up. Smell the coffee,
yes,
baby.
Honey.
If you don't smell it today, you ain't going to ever smell it. You're going to get left behind.
And remember, sugar is not for free.
Sugar ain't for free. Bernie want to give you everything for free. He wants to run here and give you everything for free. That stuff got to be paid for.
Yes.
And why is he teaching our kids, our children, how to take and rob Peter to pay Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he doing that at an early age? And all you're doing is creating more people to live in poverty.
That's right.
When you do that.
That's right.
Now, I didn't mean to say a spill full. I'm sorry.
Well, we can definitely tell people are not going to be bullying Diamond and Silk. We can see that right now.
No.
That's not happening.
Well,
is there you know, a possibility that one day you ladies might run for any kind of political office or what?
Girl, no. What I want to do is I want to sit back and talk about the ones that's running. If you ain't doing something right, go ahead and talk about the
yes.
people. No.
Yes.
What you ain't doing. Because I'm tired of people going to D.C. working
that's
for
right.
their own need,
yes.
own greed,
mm-hmm.
and not the need of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to put people first. And that's what we're looking at. When we look at Donald Trump, we know he wants to put the people first.
And we don't want another broke president.
We don't need another broke president, baby. We want somebody to sign in the front of those checks, not the back of those checks.
I don't think I'm going to borrow that one, too. Wow. I have. If I don't get anything else from this conversation, I have left with a briefcase full of really cool quotes here from Diamond and Silk. Wow. Ladies, I tell you, you guys have been just a delight to chat with. I really appreciate it. You really started my day off nicely here. I really appreciate talking to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you. having them on your show.
Yes, and get out and vote.
Get
vote
out and
for vote. Vote for Donald Trump.
Okay,
yes.
There. You've heard it. You've been told, vote for Donald J. Trump. So.
Okay.
So, okay, and then also, again, tell everybody your website again.
Website is diamondandsilk.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Diamond and Silk, like us on Facebook, Diamond and Silk, and also we have our cable talk show that comes on every Friday on our YouTube channel, The Viewer's View. And we're now on Periscope.
Uh-huh,
so they can check us out on Periscope as well.
Okay, great, great. Well, ladies, again, thank you so very much, and we're going to follow you. We're going to follow you and see what happens like the rest of the world. I know you probably have an international following by now, so we're going to throw our hat in there as well.
Well, thank you so much for following us. We really appreciate being on your show.
And thank you for having us. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. And maybe I can bring you back on after it is all said and done in November. How about that? Okay, take care, and thanks again.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there you have it. Diamond and Silk, the stump for Trump ladies. Love them, hate them, like them, whatever. It's still America. Last time I checked my watch, and we could still do all of those things. Still have that freedom of choice. Well, hey, do you agree with them? Do you disagree with them? What do you think? You can go to their website, Diamond and Silk, you know, like diamond, the diamond, and Silk, S-I-L-K-I-N-C, .com, and you will find even more information about the latest and what they're doing, what they plan on doing, and what they have done. And like I said, this interview that you just finished listening to, we taped this earlier in the year. I believe it was in maybe February, March, somewhere along in there. But again, I decided to re-air it because of Donald Trump will soon be announcing his vice presidential candidate, and we received just a barrage of emails, naturally, about this particular interview. And to further speak of email, if you'd like to drop us a line, we are at filmfestivalradio@gmail.com. Let us know what's on your mind. What's going on with you? What do you think? What do you think? Lots of changes are going to be coming to the show very soon. I know I've been promising this for a while. I've just been so swamped and busy. New segments, new lots of things. But we are right now out of time. I want to thank you guys for listening. As always, again, make sure you drop us a line, filmfestivalradio@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You do a lot better with contacting at filmfestivalradio@gmail.com because Facebook, sometimes I just totally forget to go look at Facebook, and that's bad of me. I know it is. But anyway, as always, we want to thank you guys for listening to us. We are now receiving still over 20,000 listeners a month, and we love all of you for supporting us like this. And want to thank our guest, actress, TV actress, film actress, Denise Nicholas, now best-selling author of her book that was released, as I said earlier. This is the 10th anniversary of the release of Fresh Water Road, her novel that has been so well received for the whole entire decade that it's been out. So we want to thank her, and of course we want to thank the Stump for Trump ladies, Diamond and Silk, the avid staunch supporters, African-American staunch supporters, that is, the two sisters from Fayetteville, North Carolina, of their politician of choice, Donald Trump. So we want to thank you for listening again, and we'll see you guys on our next show. Thank you for listening. I'm Janice Malone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.